black eyes in hell. Hebrews chapter 9, please. Hebrews chapter 9. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. What we're going to do is we continue on with the tabernacle, God's Mishkan, his dwelling place in the midst of his people. And look at verse 1, Hebrews 9 and verse 1, please. Then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly or earthly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first. Now let's stop here. Verse 2, when it says the first, it means the first room of the sanctuary. Not the outside courtyard where there was sacrifice of the covenant. Not the second room that we'll talk about later. The holiest of holies. But it's the first room which picks up the name the holy place. We go back to verse 2. For there was a tabernacle made the first, wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. We have learned last night that coming in here, the priest, if you look at verse 6 in Hebrews 9, the priest always went into the first tabernacle accomplishing the service of God. So it's the service of God here, not just for the people. Again, Ezekiel 44, 16, that they shall enter into my sanctuary and draw near to my table, and they shall minister unto me. Meeting the desires of the heart of God. That's the ministry we're talking about inside this little chamber called the Holy Place, 30 feet on planet Earth, and the pyramids all around. Yet here, the ministry of God happened in this little cubicle, the desires of his heart. Well, we learned the priest had to be clean, sprinkled with blood, bathed in water. We need to trust Christ, and in the symbol we have in the New Testament is water baptism, right there. And then they would come in here and accomplish the service of God. Now, the first piece, in order to do anything in here, you have to have light. Out here, as you see, I don't have my laser pointer, my hand. Everything was natural light. When you enter this enclosed sanctuary, there is no natural light, and so there will have to be light for service. How will they walk in the light to do the service of God? God will provide a light giver called a lampstand or a candlestick. Now, having said that, we read about that. Having said that, God can give light any way he wants. No problem with God. Remember the first day of creation? Genesis 1, 2. Let there be light. There was light. It's like that. But when it comes to his house, there'll be intricate detail, a procedure of what will give light for the priest to walk in light. And there's going to be something called a lampstand, singular, or candlestick, singular. And the simple principle there is, there's one source of light to walk in. There's one source of light as the tabernacle would give it. Now, it was on the south side. I know those of you who know your directions here, this isn't set up east or west. The rest of it is different here. But in the Bible, it was east or west. So that when you approach God, you are always walking from the east toward the west, following the rising of the sun, S-U-N, the fulfillment, the rising of the S-O-N, the Son of God, who we follow. Having said that, drill into the details. The parable of the lampstand, and see where it might take it, okay? So, Brother Levi, you can bring the lampstand so everybody can see it better. You don't have a lot of hair growing. Save for that. Thank you for that. And there's the lampstand. A facsimile of the design that God would give Moses. So let's go to this in Exodus chapter 25. The book of Exodus in chapter 25. Thank you. back to this. Chapter 25. We'll be down a little later in the chapter here, in Exodus 25, and we'll be starting with verse 31. But before we read verse 31, look at verse 40, the last verse of chapter 25. Verse 40, and look thou, that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mountain. These tabernacle vessels or furniture was it not Moses' creative imagination what he would like, but he saw the heavenly pattern. There was a pattern he was to go by. And you're going to see all kind of detail. You say, who needs the detail? As long as we get light in the house of God, that's all you want. Let's just get the result. Never mind all the work and detail. This piece out of pure gold is all. But God's concerned about detail. Because they're going to take you somewhere. They're going to take you to his son. And we never want to let go of the details in the house of God. We might not understand them. I'm not so sure Moses understood what we're going to understand today, but he did follow the pattern. So let's look at this pattern in verse 31 of Exodus 25. And thou shalt make the candlestick of pure gold. Let's stop right there. This will have no wood in it. It's absolutely pure gold. 1 week work. Actually one vessel there. It's called in the King James translation the candlestick. Some of you with more modern translations will have lampstand, which is accurate. It was not technically a candlestick. There were not wax candles. We're going to see there were oil burning lamps. There was oil burning lamps. But before you're too hard on the translators, sometimes the normal means of something is used, you will use that term. And the title is translated candles was the main means of the light, so we got the word candlestick. For instance, some of you younger ones won't relate to this. But what you call a refrigerator or whatever you call it, the older people a long time ago called it an ice box. Because they have this insulated chest before electricity, and you get chunks of ice, you know, from the ice man, and then you put your meat and vegetables in it. So naturally, they're called the ice box. Even today, I still do it, unless you know, I'm up there. But people will say, I'm going to the ice box or the fridge or something like that. Well, technically, it's not cooled by ice, is it? It's cooled by freon going through copper pipes. I've never heard anybody say, I'm going to the freon box. That would be technically correct, but it's not their common usage. So the word was candlestick. That was their common usage of light, even though it's a lampstand. Electricians still today will measure units in candle power. So I don't think it's part of the translators. It is indeed a lampstand, though, or a candlestick. Well, let's look at some of this design here in verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made, his shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, and his flowers shall be of the same. Now, this is going to be made in the form of a living tree. What is going to give light to walk in? God designs it in the form of a living tree. Looking again, it speaks of his shaft in verse 31. That's the trunk of the tree, the center stick of the shaft. And then it speaks of his branches. You'll see in a minute there were six of them. So a tree has branches. Here's the branches. But he goes on to speak of his bowls. And some of you will have cups, and they're cups of almonds. Look at verse 33. Three bowls made like an almond. So you have the fruit of this tree, which is an almond tree. But also, the King James translation will have knops. Some of you will have balls or buds. And then flowers or blossoms, verse 31. So that it was made up of something that gives light. It's in the form of a living tree. The form of a tree that has the fruit, it has the buds, it has the blossoms, the flowers. And so God has designed what gives light in the form of light. And he has merged two concepts together. Not only light, he has merged with light, the form of a living tree. Now, having said that, let's go down to verse 32. And six branches shall come out of the sides of it, three branches of the candlestick out of one side and three branches of the candlestick out of the other side. So the shaft of the trunk is your center thing. It's a little higher for reasons. And three branches, one side, three branches, and you get the number six. So God is stamped the number six on this lampstand. Calls it six branches. But there's more. There's more. A few details. Here, we're looking here at verse 33. Three bowls or cups of almonds, made like an almond, with a knot, if you want a bud, and a flower in one branch. And three bowls made like an almond in the other branch with a knot and a flower, and the six branches that come out of the candlestick. So what God is going to do in each branch, he's going to make three sets of the bowl of almonds, the flower, and the bud or the knot or the ball that you have. Okay, he says three. So you have one set, two sets, three sets. And each branch will have that. Now, we want to do a little math this morning. Lack of a better word, I want to see the entities, the amount of entities on God's lampstand in one source of light. So if you have three sets of three, each one with the flowers, the almonds, and the ball, repeated three times. Three times three is nine. Basic math, right? Three. So each branch has nine entities. But how many branches were there? Well, there was six. So we do a little multiplication. Nine times six is 54. So far, this intricate lampstand, counting the six branches, each having nine entities of these, we have a total of 54, but there's this stick, this shaft, this trunk. And God gives a different number for that. Let's read on. Verse 34. And in the candlestick, shall be four bowls made like an almond with their knots and with their flowers. Not three. Why not? What does it matter? Six, seven, eight, two. God says four. So you're going to have a set of four threes. Four sets of three in the candlestick, which would obviously make it higher. So four times three is 12. Four times three is 12. So you have 12 in the stick. You have six branches times nine is 54. So you add 54 and 12 into the total number of entities. 54 and 12, and you get 66. If you know anything that might be connected with 66, it gives light. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The entrance of thy word giveth light. Psalm 119, verse 130. Give an understanding of the subject. One place this will take you is to the written word of God. The one source of light the believer has to walk in. Long before the Bible was ever completed, God converts light and light together. The word of God is light, but it's also light. The word of God is quick or alive and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. Hebrews 4, verse 12. So that we have something living here that reveals the light of God, the truth of God. And here in this ancient lampstand, you have something with 66 entities. Now, you make just a little more of it. You take the center shaft, right here, the stick, which has 12. You take three on one side, this case on my left. Well, 9 times 3 is 27, okay? And then connected with the shaft, 12, 27 and 12 are 39. There are 39 books of the Old Testament. And the final three things, 9 times 3 is 27, there's 27 books of the New Testament, put all together, you have 66. People tell me details on that. The light to walk in, the one source of light. But there's more to this, because there's another number on here besides 6. So let's read on here. By the way, verse 35 here, this makes sense. There shall be a knot under two branches of the same, and a knot under two branches of the same, and a knot under the branches of the same, according to the six branches that proceed out of the candlestick. Now, verse 35 is telling you where they will position the stick in relation to the branches, where they will fit by the knots, the buds, and so on. That's the positioning verse of verse 35. Not an addition verse, but a positioning verse. Now, verse 36. Their knots or buds and their branches shall be of the same, there shall be one beaten work of pure gold. Verse 37. And thou shalt make the seven lamps thereof. They shall light the lamps thereof, that they may give light over against it. Yes, the number six is on here. Okay, number seven is on here. It would have seven lamps, because not only were the six branches for a lamp, the candlestick itself would. So while it has the number six, it also has the number seven, God's number of completion, perfection, and so on that we're talking about. So God defines life and light, and he defines six and seven and one big piece. Now the purpose we just read in verse 37 was to give light over against it. That's an awkward phrase. To give light over against it. Hebrew word is difficult to translate. Some will have that it will light up the front of it. To give light in front of it. So I'll just give you that. It's doing two things in that Hebrew word. It's obviously giving light, but it's lighting up itself. It's revealing the glory of this door of the living tree. It's revealing the glory. It's giving light in front of it. It's lighting itself up, so to speak, as it gives light. Now, we do things like that. I go to people's houses sometimes, they make me a nice dinner, and I look up and there's a beautiful crystal chandelier, and it says light on the table, so I can see my steak or pork chop or whatever is there. And it's very nice to see. And but I'll tell you what else that does. It lights up and sparkles the chandelier itself. And my wife might make a comment, what a beautiful chandelier. It showed the glory of itself as well as giving light. Light over against it. It's going to reveal the glory of itself as well as providing light. Light and light merge together in one and a living tree. Seven and six. Revealing its glory and giving light. One aspect it pointed to was the written word of God. Brothers and sisters, as long as the written word of God is a lamp under my path, the light of my feet, the one source of light to walk in, God designed it a long time ago. It is also a picture of the living word of God, our Lord Jesus in the flesh. So let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Gospel of John, please. Chapter 1. The reality in Jesus Christ our Lord. John, please. Chapter 1. Look how John starts out, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You're going to see the eternal name of Jesus was not Jesus. It was Word. You know what a word is? You can't see the thoughts of a heart, but a word expresses the heart. The Word is the expression. You can't see God. But the Lord Jesus will be the expression of God the Father. And so he's called the Word here. In the beginning was. He didn't have a start. When the beginning happened out here, he was. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Word was God. And look at verse 2. The same was in the beginning with God. See, that kind of sounds like a reason. It just said the Word was with God. The same was in the beginning with God. What word with has a deeper meaning than just geographically in the same place? It's a word that means unto or toward. Okay? Somebody could say here, for example, I'll pick on my friend Ralph for a reunion. Ralph, where were you this week? Well, I was with Brother Andy at Greenwood Hills, and so he was. We were in the same room. Okay? But Brother Ralph comes from New England originally, and I come from Pittsburgh. And I say, let's crush those patriotic Steelers. And Brother Ralph will say, I'm not with you. How does Brother Ralph mean? Doesn't mean he's not the same perfectly. I'm not in harmony with you. I'm not in agreement with you. The same was in the beginning with God, in total harmony, in total essence. Jesus didn't evolve into Godhood. In the same, he was in total essence and harmony. They're one. The same was in the beginning with God. Now look at verse 3. Verse 3. All things were made by him. Now without him was not anything made that was made. This word is the creator. He spoke it into existence in 6 days. Expressing God. God said was the word. And everything was made by this word here. Now look at verse 4. The eternal name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. He didn't get life like you and I. He is life. He's called that eternal life. 1 John 1, 2. Never a beginning, never an end. I can understand a little bit, never an end. Don't ever ask me to understand this, how you can never have a beginning. If you did, then that thing would be gone. I believe it though. In him was life, and the life was the light. Light gives revelation, it gives understanding, it gives truth. You see, in Jesus Christ, our Lord, two things are merged together, life and light. Like the ancient candlestick. It gives light, but it's in the form of a living tree. Life and light merged together as one being work. So in the Lord Jesus, you have someone who is light, but he has given us light, revelation, understanding, truth, as we go on to see. The life was the light of men. Now go further down to verse 14. John 1, verse 14. Still speaking of the Word. John 1, verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The Word was made flesh. He's the creator of all things. He's God. That's the seventh. God's number seven, you know. Perfect, completed, he rested on the seventh day. That's God's number seven. But you know what day man was created? Number six. Created Adam on the sixth day of the need. Okay? So man's number is six. So we have a seven becoming a six. Six branches and seven lamps. The number seven and six enter in one piece. The Lord Jesus, the Word became flesh. He's the eternal creator. He's also a man. God was manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3:16. But he's one. He's not part this, part that. He's one Son of God, Son of Man, two in one, completely full. The man Christ Jesus, the Son of God in heaven and so on. And so you have a seven in Christ, but he became a six. The Word became flesh. Go back to verse 14, please. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. You know that word dwelt is translated as? Another one sometimes. Tabernacle. Live. Dwelt among us. Now look at the rest of verse 14. And we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Just to behold truth out there, we beheld his glory. He lit up himself. Begotten of the Father. Oh yes, he's full of truth. He's full of grace. You see the grace of God in the Lord Jesus, as well as the truth of God. He lights up to God. And lights up and gives glory over against it, in front of it. He's full of grace and truth. And the law was given by Moses. The grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Look at the function of light here in verse 14. Make it 18. John 1, verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. Some of you will have, he hath revealed him. Greek word exogenia, we get the word exegesis. He's interpreted God. He makes God understandable. He's revealed, he's declared him. You see, again, verse 18. Nobody has seen God at any time. So people guess. I think God would never send anybody to hell. I don't think God would do this. I think he's like this. How do they know? They've never seen him. But the only begotten Son, who's in the bosom, the one of the Father, he hath revealed or declared him. He is him. He's been there. And so he knows what he's talking about. And so when it comes to the Lord Jesus, he's light. In him was light, and the light is the light of men. He'll reveal truth to you. You see, when you're in darkness, you have to guess. If you see, I have a laser point here. Let's say all the lights are out. Maybe a thunderstorm at night, the lights are out. And for some reason, the point I would do it, if I laid the laser pointer in the laser, you know. And I say, I can go get my laser, it's dark out. You don't know where it is, you can't see. You can't see, it stumble around, you might trip over the hands. You don't know where it is. But if I turn the lights on, But now you see, it's right in your hand. You're being off about that. Said, yes, I am. Because the light is revealed where it's at. We can know the things of God for sure, not because we've been there, but the light is there. He's revealed it, the Lord Jesus. You know, people talk about heaven and the mansion of the Lord, but they say that's pie in the sky. I haven't seen that. I can't prove that with scientific observation. But I believe it with all my heart because the light revealed it. In my Father's house are living man. If it were not so, I would have told you. I got a repair place for you. If I go to repair a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. I know there's a Father's house. I know there's many mansions, dwelling places. He told me. I can know these things for sure. And I'll be honest with you. My heart doesn't want to believe in a hell. Burns forever and then the lake of fire. How can that? I don't really naturally want to believe it, but I believe it with all my heart, not because I've scientifically proven it, because the light has revealed it. Listen to the preaching of the Son of God in Luke 16:22. Talked about a man who died. He said, the rich man also died and was buried. So that's the end of that. Verse 23. In hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment. Seeth Abraham afar off, and he cried, and said unto him, Father Abraham, mercy on me, and dip the tip of thy finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. A place of torment, a place of flame, a place of judgment. I don't want to believe in it. But the light is revealed it, so I have absolute proof. How do I know you have to be born again? Why do you think that's just an assembly thing? Except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus said. How do I know each other's judgment that God is love? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So brothers and sisters, when he says it, when his word reveals it, you have life from life. And you can be absolutely sure, because we know he's in the bosom of the Father, we have declared him. We have proof, remember, so we don't have to guess. We don't have to grow up in darkness and be surprised with a disaster. The light has come, and he's light. Notice again, how God has merged the two concepts in the ancient candlestick of light and life. We're thinking back to John 1 for a minute to see something else. John chapter 1. I'm going to reread verse 4. John chapter 1 and verse 4. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know this. The source of life is life. In him was life, and the light was the light of men. That light comes from light, not the other way around. That light comes from light, but light comes from light. The light is the light of all men. Now that's very important to God in this way. That the source of light is light. The light is understanding and things like that. Well, let me show you that combination again. Let's go to John chapter 8, preaching of the Lord. John chapter 8. Some of you can say this verse back to me. Looking from the verse 12, John 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. See that? The light of life. You won't grow. You won't guess. You won't be surprised, disaster, and so on. You have the light of life, the source of light. Truth of understanding is life. This life came from something living. In him was life. Having said that, in our zeal to win people, you know what we often do to win people in Christ? We overload them with life. We debate. We say, don't you see it? No, they don't see it. You know why they don't see it? They don't have life. When they have Christ, then they'll have life, because life comes from life. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. When they receive Christ, they don't have to understand all the theology of the Bible. That will come later. But when they receive the risen Savior who died for them, the light will come on because they have life. The living one now lives in them. Well, let's see that a little more. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. See it again. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Some of the believers don't walk in the world, the nations. They walk in the futility, the fantasy, the vanity of their mind. They guess. We got here through a monkey, you know, evolution. From the goo to zoo to you. Stuff like that. They just guess at stuff like that. And they come up with these wild theories. It's the emptiness of their human mind. But look at the next, look at the problem. Look at why they do that in verse 18. Having their understanding darkened. Oh, they might be doctors and this and that, but their spiritual mind doesn't have the spirit in it. It's dark. They can't understand God. Their understanding is dark. You say, I know the problem. They don't have light. Well, that's true, but that's not the root problem. Look at verse 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. They don't have the life of God. It's when you get the life of God, the light of life, then you'll have light. We try to win the debate, so I realize we got to get an answer when people ask us. But just to go out there trying to win the debate on this and that, improve this and that, they need life, and then they'll have life. Hold this story before. His name was Bob. Happened down at Camp Horizon in Florida. We had like an intensive week of teaching and the Word of God, like 6-7 sessions a day with the young people. And Bob walks in on the second day and sits down and hears some of the truth on baptism that we were teaching. I don't know what had to do with it. I don't think that's happened. But anyway. Heard the truth of water baptism for the believers. Bob comes up to me after. His brother, 2 weeks ago in college, I trusted Christ. Now I see I need to be baptized to identify with the water. He said, brother, would you baptize me? Well, we eventually sat down with some of the camp directors and that. He seemed to be truly saved. The only problem was, Camp Horizon has a lake there and has alligators in it. He asked me to baptize. And it was the shortest message I ever gave in all that water. You girls would never do this. You're too nice of girls, okay? But there were sisters there on the shore that took the little barrettes out of their head and went like this as I was going to the bathroom. The point of the story is this. What Bob told me. His brother Randy, other believer in the loop. I could have debated doing one. I didn't argue. Okay? He said, but since I trusted Christ, I don't believe a word. I understand now. He's the creator. He had light because he had life. He had the Son of God. And we understand that as we deal with people, we don't have to win every argument or prove everything. Yes, when they have a question. But we bring them to Christ. Christ crucified, Paul said. Nothing among you all I know. Christ has been crucified. When they receive the living Christ who died for them, they have eternal life. You know what comes from life is light. Those of you that can remember your conversion, you might remember, you started to understand this. Hey, look at that, I've never seen this. I love that when it happens. Pittsburgh, a little Jewish girl by the name of Rosie. It's Christmas time, we had something on our front door, the names of Christ in the Old Testament, and she comes by and she says, you know, I just came to Christ. I think you're a Christian, but she's outside. And she goes on to tell her story. She comes in and she says, I was reading Isaiah 53, and she says, he was wounded for our transgression. Just last night I was reading. She said, that's Jesus. She said, Mr. Amos, did you ever see that? But she now saw it for the first time. So we invited her over for dinner, little Rosie, the same Jewish girl. I think her parents had a funeral for her. And so out of kindness and me not thinking, we served her hand. But she was very gracious. But seeing things. That's what happens when you get saved. Because the light of life, the lampstand, the one source of life, the written word of God, my table to minister unto me. So if you want to read it in mass, read the open, read Leviticus 24. He's the first part of it, first 12 verses. We're going to be in Leviticus 24 tonight in the service of God, and then look at the ministry of the high priest, lampstand, and table of showbread. There's still more to say. Blessed this is asked God and bless his word and prayer. Our God and Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we're in thy presence. We don't have to guess. Light has revealed thyself, revealed salvation, revealed the way. Lord, we can know these things because we believe in him, not because we're smart, because he's in the bosom of the Father. He's revealed him. Lord, we have life if we have Christ, and that's the only reason we have life. We pray that this